Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Capital City Cavaliers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Kyle McArabia of the News Tribune. And before Kyle and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Kyle's conversation with Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier.
Well, first off, I think, you know, last week's win might have been one of the crazier games I've ever covered. So as you've gotten a chance to look back at it now, did anything new kind of jump out at you about how your team performed?
No, it was, you know, focus breakdowns was our pitfalls last game, and we played 4 minutes of football, and thankfully it was enough to win, but it wasn't the way we want to play football. We don't perceive Cavalier football that being that sloppy. So although we're thankful for the win, we know there's a lot of work ahead of us, and the name of the game this week is going to be focusing. Do your job.
I guess, you know, as you say, you played, you know, 4 good minutes of football there. What does it say about your team that, you know, even with so much of the game not going how you planned, you're still able to focus up for those 4 important minutes and come back, claw back, and get a win?
It says that if we're not careful, you know, we won't be as successful as we want to be. That's what it says. We're good enough to be anybody, but if we're not on our game, anybody especially in our conference is good enough to beat us.
After the last game, you were, you know, pretty confident saying Evan was the guy moving forward. Is that going to be the plan starting this week?
I feel like he gives us the best opportunity to be successful each play right now. So that's what we're going with.
And then with, like you said, with the focus of practice on focus, right, what can the guys do to come out and, I guess, you know, not dig that hole early on this week against Hickman, just come out and start the way you want to start?
Execution is the name of the game. Like I said, we were talented enough to overcome that big old hump that we gave ourselves. And so if we just, what would happen, we need to know, and maybe, you know, what would happen if we dial in and not fumble the ball and really focused on our keys and reading them and our assignments, getting to them. And if we have a game that works towards being focused, what can happen? You know, and I'm guaranteeing, I'm pretty sure that success, we'll have successful plays and give ourselves the opportunity to win by the end of the game and feel good about, you know, our body of work that night, not just 4 minutes.
All right.
All right, that was Cavaliers head coach Joe Collier. And Kyle, we got a lot to get to about last week before we even get to this week, but let's start with the simple question. How crazy was that game last week?
I honestly believe that's the most insane football game I've ever covered. I've been in the industry for 5 or 6 years now, and I've never seen something that insane. I'm going to forget parts of it,
sure,
that were crazy because there was so much just stacked on top of each other.
Right.
You go, you know, first play in a brand new stadium, Capital City rips off about a 40-yard run that's called back and then goes 3 and out, has to punt, and it's a safety. I mean,
right,
like, that's the start of the game. First,
right,
first series of downs. Let's see, Capital City had, I think, 10 total fumbles and lost 6.
Jeez.
By my count.
Yeah.
Including 2 that were returned for touchdowns by the same kid within 5 game minutes of each other. You know, having a kid return 1 defensive touchdown, incredible.
Right.
2 in a game, astounding. Like, you don't see that happen very much.
Right.
To do it in within 5 game minutes of each other, it was 3 drives.
Right.
One drive he did that, next drive Jalen Thomas ripped off a 60-yard touchdown run, and then the drive after that, the kid does it again.
Right.
You got Jalen Thomas, a 60-yard touchdown run, and a 59-yard touchdown,
right,
in the same game. And then you got Capital City running a veer, coming back from a 2-score deficit with 6.5 minutes left because they put in a sophomore quarterback who, you know, comes in and just leads the way down the field.
Right.
I think Capital City gave up maybe
six or eight total rushing yards in the second half.
Wow.
I mean, they didn't give up a first down in the second half until the second to last drive, and they gave up one on that drive, and then four or five on Battle's final drive, because they just attacked literally the same play, five plays in a row, just had a quick out on the right side, three of them to the same guy, two of them to another couple of guys, but just, you know, same play, march down the field so that you get a final toss into the end zone as time expires, which looked like time expired the play before when Battle didn't get out of bounds, so the fans and everybody started celebrating as the clock wound down.
Right.
It turns out Battle calls a timeout with 4 seconds left. They get the final play. I mean, just everything about that game was insane. Start to finish, just crazy.
The good thing is you come out with a win in a game like that, because you come out on the short end, that's one of those where you're like, you never want to talk about it ever again, whereas this might be one of those games where, you know, 10 years from now, you can still be talking about it. Remember that crazy game when we opened the stadium? You know, that's the sort of thing you want to definitely come out on the winning side of.
I mean, yeah, we mentioned it, you know, last week. One of the things Coach Collier said he wanted was to put on a show for the fans.
Right.
They got one hell of a show.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah. So, again, you know, and we'll get to this week in a second, but it also does, you know, bear repeating that that was the first game at the new facility. It sounds like, obviously, the fans got their money's worth, but it's also one of those things where it sounds like it was also, you know, they did it upright, it sounds like, mm-hmm. from the stuff that went on, you know, in terms of the outside the game stuff.
Yeah, it seemed like a great opening. The fans did an awesome job filling it up. You know, stands were full from the jump, and Capital City did a very nice gesture to the seniors who have graduated the last couple of years from the football team, invited them all back to help open the stadium since they never got to play a true home game. So they were all honorary captains for the coin toss. They were down on the sidelines throughout the game, kind of talking with players and everybody. It was a very nice overall event. I think they did a great job.
Yeah. So, you know, the end result is you move to 2-0 in the season. Cavaliers are now 1-0 in conference play as well. And so now it's time to get refocused for this week. Tonight's game is a 7 o'clock game, you know, at Hickman. It's a Hickman team that's struggling right now. They're 0-2 and 0-1. So, you know, on paper you think, okay, this is another way to kind of keep things rolling. But, you know, games aren't played on paper. They're played on grass and or turf. So, what happens tonight then, and how does Capital City manage to kind of get refocused after such a crazy win?
So, you're talking about focus. We heard Coach Collier talk about it when I was questioning him the other day, but focus is the big thing, right? You've had major, major fumble issues, just overall shooting yourself in the foot problems.
Right.
Through both of the first two games, because that was kind of the same story to a lesser extent against Warrensburg in week one. So the big thing is just focusing, playing, you know, quality football throughout the game. And I think, you know, with the way that Capital City's offense has looked, especially once Evan Schaefer came in, the sophomore quarterback, the last 2 weeks, he's the one who's orchestrated both comebacks, really.
Okay.
He's going to be starting this week. And from everything Coach Collier has been telling me after the game against Battle this week, you know, the offense just kind of runs more efficiently when he's under center.
Okay.
So, you know, hopefully you see an offense that is able to run as efficiently as it has at the end of the last couple of games.
Right.
From the jump.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, Hickman seems like a team that, you know, you should be able to not have to have a comeback effort against.
Right. Yeah. It is worth mentioning that, you know, like I say, they are 0-2. You know, last week especially was, you know, pretty good beating at the hands of Elias, losing 42-12. But it was, you know, it's a Hickman team that also, yes, lost the first week of the season to North Kansas City, but that one was a 28-26 game. Mm-hmm. So you go, okay, so I think they're still a team where I'm not quite sure kind of what to expect from them, because, you know, we know that how good Elias is and can be. So it's kind of hard to kind of gauge from those two games just what Hickman is. And I think that's kind of the uniqueness, I guess, about early season football, is you're still trying to go, okay, you know, but for a play last week, maybe, you know, Capital City's not coming in on a two-game winning streak. So I think it's just a matter of, okay, I think this might be the week where you kind of go, now we have a better feel about both these teams.
Yeah, and from talking with Coach Collier, it seems like he thinks Hickman's better this year than they have been.
Okay.
You know, they gave themselves a pretty good chance to win week one, and like you said, Elias is Elias. Sometimes there's nothing you can do.
Right.
But Hickman, you know, the the running game offensively doesn't quite seem to be there. I think they had like 29 yards on 28 carries against Elias.
Right.
The passing game seems like it very much is. I think they had over 300 against Elias, and they've got, you know, a senior receiver in Lucas Murray and a junior tight end in Brock Camp, who's just enormous.
Right.
And they're able to get both of them the ball and really spread it out in a way that I don't think Capital City has really seen yet this year.
Okay.
You know, both Warrensburg and Battle pass a little, but it seems like Hickman is very pass heavy and, you know, schemes it up that way to try to get, especially Brock Camp, kind of mismatches across the field, and they'll line him up pretty much wherever, which is something I don't think Capital City's had to deal with yet defensively.
And not only necessarily how have they been able to, or have they had to deal with it yet, is that something that you think that they are either suited for or not suited for, just in terms of the big picture?
Defense has definitely been the strong suit through the first two games, you know, but I haven't seen a ton of, like, direct pass coverage in that type of way.
Sure.
You know, they had to line up and try to contain DeQuell Wright last week with Battle, and did a pretty good job for most of the game. He was the one who, you know, got three of those outs on the final drive, so his numbers ended up shooting up a little bit more. But, you know, overall, for the quality of player he was, I think they did a pretty good job of containing him. I think they'll probably have a pretty good shot this week. But, you know, having a huge tight end that's bigger than pretty much anybody Cap City has on its defense is going to present some issues.
Sure. What do we think about Capital City from the standpoint of, okay, we've seen them now score 41 and 37 in back-to-back weeks. Is that something that we expect to continue? So, I mean, if it becomes a game where maybe Hickman does have some things that causes them problems and they maybe are able to score some points, is this the sort of team that we look at and go, yes, they can absolutely outslug people because they've done it the first 2 weeks and we expect them to keep doing that? Or is that just kind of one of those things where you go, I still don't know if they're a 40-point-per-game team?
If you think about it, they put up 37 and they had 10 fumbles.
Right.
And they lost 6 of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of those were on special teams, but, like, you're giving away scoring opportunities and still scoring 37.
Right.
Warrensburg, they put up 41. They lost a few fumbles in that one, too. I mean, I think this is a very legit offense that is able to strike quickly, especially with Jalen Thomas. It seems like, you know, he was astounding last year. He's already looking better this year. He's almost to 500 yards, and I think he has 7 touchdowns through 2 games.
And that's not too shabby.
You know, like I said, he had the 60 and the 59 last week. He had 2 over 40 in week 1. So, you know, when you've got a kid like that, you can strike fast.
Yeah.
And your drives don't need to last very long if there's one opening.
Right.
So I do think that what we've seen out of the offense is legitimate, and if they're able to move more efficiently, the way it sounds like Coach Collier thinks they will with Schaefer back there, and not give away opportunities to score.
Right.
I think they might put up even more.
I was going to say, that was my next question, now if we have a whole game where we have the quarterback in, who we now think is the quarterback we want to have, and you can tighten up in terms of turnovers, what's the ceiling for the offense?
So I'm not sure down the road, because especially after this week, you've got a string of Rockbridge, Elias, Jeff City.
Right.
And that's going to be a real tough stretch.
Sure.
But these opening 3 games, the final 3 games, especially kind of looking at what those 3 teams were last year in Smith, Cotton, Truman, and Kirksville, and what they are this year, like that combo of 6 games, 3 to start, 3 to end, you could see a lot out of this offense if it's running efficiently. They might have to change some stuff up when they're facing teams like Elias and Rockbridge, especially, sure, where they're able to really key in.
Yeah. I guess the next big question is how did they emerge from last week in terms of injury-wise? Any concerns about the health of the team, you know, a couple games into the season?
Nothing of note. Parson Nocheski, who missed last game, is back. So I would assume, unless Schaefer is running the offense at, you know, 100% efficiency, at some point we'll see Ocheski get a couple of series in this one, but it seems like Schaefer is probably going to be the main guy. He's at least getting the start. We'll see if they continue the mix the way they had the last couple games.
All right. And I guess that then leads us naturally into the prediction point of the podcast. So I think I have an inkling which direction you might be leaning, but what do we see as the score in this one?
I'm definitely going with Capital City.
Okay.
After I think, especially once Schaefer came in, the way they were able to move impressed me a lot.
Right.
And I think in week one, too. So I think if they're able to put the offense together that way throughout a game, I think it's going to be a big one. So I'll say Capital City 42, Hickman 21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Kyle McRavy, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Kyle McRavy on Twitter at Kyle_McRavy, McRavy. Thanks for listening.